previously on podcasts without pretense.
You know what, guys? I'm just going to give us a pass. Let's not watch this Asylum movie. What movie do you want to watch, Eric?
So the weird thing is I keep finding these like weird coloring pencils around here, and I don't actually buy them. So I don't know where they're coming from. I think this place is haunted.
I don't think it's an Asylum film. It should be fine.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Maya Zaktar.
I'm Eric Sandine.
And together we are three defeated men. Defeated in Eric, however, the least defeated of the three of us, because he picked the movie that we are going to watch for Podcast Without Pretense, he's the only one who hasn't seen any of it. I has watched the whole motherfucking thing.
That's true.
And I watched...
You guys a pass.
No. Fuck you. You have got to watch this. I gave you guys a pass because I had seen some of Zombies. You don't get to give us a pass when you haven't watched any of Three-Headed Shark Attack.
That's fair. I'll watch it.
I do want a spoiler, though. I want a spoiler from you. I've got a specific question for you.
Go ahead.
You've seen the whole thing, right?
Yes.
Are there any boobies after the 6-minute mark? Or is it literally all the topless scenes confined to the first 6 minutes of the movie?
In the case anyone else is hearing me in this apartment, Jonathan just asked me if there are any boobies in the movie past the 6-minute mark. There are no bare boobies after the 6 minute
that
mark.
That is incredible.
They front loaded the toplessness. There are, and I will say, this is not going to ruin the experience for anybody else who's going to watch this movie. A lot of the women save the guys by tearing off their shirts and making bandages, because you make bandages with your shirts. None of the guys do this ever.
Right.
But they also have another like top underneath. So like, yeah, that's the end of that. After 6 minutes, it's over.
So we're going to save the full discussion of this movie for next week after Eric's had a chance to endure it himself.
Let it happen.
Yeah, just let it happen to me. I wrote four full pages. I'm not talking about I got to the fourth page of notes. I wrote four full pages of notes, single spaced in paragraph form of stuff about Three-Headed Shark Attack. And then I gave up after, and that was only 20 minutes into the movie. I've gotten further since then, but I stopped taking notes.
Well, again, not to spoil the movie, but at 20 minutes in, you're like, this movie's ending, right? And then they're like, no, there's another hour after this. And I have my own notes, which you will see next week. You'll be like, what? Well, we'll get there later. Three-headed shark attack coming later. Promise.
So, yeah. So I like that you made that point, though, Ayaz, because as you say, within the first 20 minutes, you feel like the movie's over because the first 20 minutes represents what a full plot would be in a normal monster movie. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you move into what would be the sequel to that monster movie, right? Like, it feels like there's at least, I mean, and I haven't gotten far enough, but it feels like there are at least two movies. Not like, neither of them are good, but at least two movies in this one film.
Easily. Maybe even a trilogy. Packed into this film one film.
So it's a trilogy, just like a three-headed shark is one entity. This is a trilogy packed into one movie.
So anyway, enough about this film that we cannot talk about until next time, because Eric needs to watch the movie he picked.
Right.
We should talk about other things.
Okay.
How about other things?
Yeah, sure.
What is on your shirt, Jonathan?
This is a Riff Trax shirt. So I supported some Riff Trax thing online and I got a shirt out of it. So this shirt has a whole bunch of different monsters and references to some of the movies that they've covered on Riff Trax.
Well, that's not very exciting at all.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I have the Wolverine on my shirt. Eric is wearing a plain black shirt, which doesn't help us at all. Wonderful. I choose the topic so well. So maybe somebody else should pick the topic because shirts. This is not podcast.
Shirts didn't go anywhere.
I was hoping your shirt's so exciting, Jonathan, but it's so boring at the same time.
I mean, I honestly haven't even looked at it to see all the different characters. I mean, I can see a Sasquatch. I see that there's over here that one right there is Trumpy. That's Trumpy from Pod People.
It's turning into a romper room. I see. Yeah. Trumpy. Okay. Yeah. Not.
No. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Pod People. The MST3K did Pod People as one of their classic episodes, and it's one of the best films or one of the best episodes of MST3K, in my opinion. It's one of the most entertaining ones.
Did you know that I tried to watch Zombies today after watching Three-Headed Shark Attack?
God, Ayaz, why did you do that? What did you think of Zombies? Was it as bad as I was telling you, like as worthless as I was telling you?
I believe so, because I stopped after about 3 minutes in. I saw the introductions, I heard it, and I'm like, nope. I noped out of this movie so fast, and I'm so glad we didn't actually have to watch it for the show, because I think I've reached a point where I cannot watch any more of these shitty movies for a show unless there's money involved. So even that, I might be like, yeah, you know, I like money, but not this much. It's like torture watching these things.
So does that mean we should make it a moratorium, no more asylum pictures? Or are you saying that we should just stop the whole movie thing entirely at this point?
I don't know yet. Eric, you have an opinion?
Oh, I don't care either way. I mean, the movies are fun, but whatever. If I can roll out...
Eric is the spirit animal of Podcasts Without Pretense. Like,
whatever.
I can take it or leave it.
I was just going to say, if it takes me less than like 4 hours to make a Chrome extension to block Asylum on Netflix, then we'll just ban all Asylum films.
All right.
There we go. Let's try that out. If you want to spend 4 hours of your life on this extension, that works.
More worthless things. So that's
now hang on. If you build this, anybody who watches this show will also download this extension and go, thank you, Eric. Okay. Or also you got to build the reverse that they only get Asylum movies in their Netflix
filters account. Asylum movies.
That's all they get, because it should be pretty easy to code that, I imagine, right? It's just the opposite. Going, yes, tonight will suck.
It depends what Netflix tonight gives you back. Yeah.
It makes me think of the film Kids in the Hall Brain Candy, where you've got the one scientist who has developed a drug that gives crabs to your ex-girlfriends.
Oh yeah, right.
But this one would be, this is an app that makes your ex-girlfriends watch Asylum movies. What are you not getting?
That'd be great. Anytime Martin Scorsese is listed as the director, it switches you to the Asylum. And you're like, well, shit, this Gangs of New York sucks.
It's just going to make people cancel their Netflix accounts after a while.
Welcome to the here. Podcast Without Pretense. We're sponsored by Hulu.
Yes, which is also owned by Comcast. Owners of the Comcast Challenge. Look up
and
Comcast
Fandango.
Challenge.
Or they used to be, anyway.
Does it own Fandango?
I don't know if they still own it or not. I know they did own it. So I'm not sure if Comcast still owns Fandango or not. I think they might. So one of the things I was going to... Since we don't have a movie to talk about specifically, here's a potential movie-type discussion. We've got Halloween coming up. Are there any movies that you guys particularly like, whether they are good or bad but entertaining, that you think of as being, like the perfect kind of film to watch to get you in the right mood for Halloween?
I need to I need to have a list of rating things. There are really good horror movies that I've watched semi-recently, but I can't think of any of them.
Well, Halloween, I always go with same old, same old. I watch Scream, which is really a great reimagining of the horror movie. And then there's Nightmare on Elm Street, which is also Wes Craven, because it's terrifying. I don't really actually ever pick Halloween, because Halloween is just kind of a really shitty series. I can't think of a single...
The first Halloween film I like a lot, but that's the one that kind of established how slasher films work, right? The two big slasher films that started the whole thing, I would argue, are Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was extremely low budget, and then Halloween, which I think is one of the better John Carpenter films. I actually really like the first Halloween. I kind of like the second one. The third one I like because it is so crazy and totally not connected to the other Halloween movies. And honestly, that's how they were originally intended. It was supposed to be that each entry into the Halloween series would be a horror movie set during Halloween, but it wasn't supposed to be the same characters or the same bad guy, right? But the studio wanted a sequel because Halloween, while it was a very low budget film, ended up being profitable. And then Halloween 3 was what was intended the whole time. It was supposed to not be connected to the first two, but because they had already done two with Michael Myers, people reacted poorly. And then they went back to Michael Myers from Halloween 4 through whatever they're up to now. But the first one I still think is a pretty effective slasher movie. And of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is an amazing Scream queen. But I agree with you entirely. Scream is fantastic. Like I would pair Halloween with Scream just so that you can see the beginning of the slasher genre and then the deconstruction of the slasher genre. I think those two kind of complement each other pretty well.
I don't think I've actually watched Scream in a long time. Like it holds one of my go-tos.
Oh yeah. In Scream, they're watching Halloween, so you're probably right about that, Jonathan. You watch Halloween first, and you watch Scream where they're actually watching Halloween. It works really well. You know, I forgot that it was John Carpenter, so I want to watch it again to see if it works properly. But like, it's so old. We had this discussion last week where I was talking about House of the Devil, which is really slowly paced, which made Jonathan very angry. Anyway.
No. I got angry because I was saying that it was about a cult movie and you were like, well, of course it's called House of the Devil. And then
it was a cult revolves around the devil. And you're like, it's a demonic possession movie. I'm like, I wanted to argue with this last week and I'm going to do it now. Last time. You're saying that it could possibly House of the Devil could be about demonic possession. I'm like, no, because it's called House of the Devil. And the weird thing is, if it was a demonic possession, that's a demon. And if Satan is going to, like, I don't know, like hire a fucking demon to do this, it wouldn't be called House of the Devil. It'd be House of the Demon. And that's not what the movie is called. It's called House of the Devil. So it has to be about Satan and, you know, the top dude. Because otherwise, what the fuck are you doing? Rebuttal.
Well, that's true. No, I acquiesce. You made your point and I agree with it. When I heard House of the Devil, I did not immediately think cult. It just didn't occur to me because cult, like films about cults, that's something that you, especially in mainstream movies, you don't see much of, or at least you didn't when that film came out, you didn't see much of anymore, right? Cult films, they were big in the 70s and 80s, which granted House of the Devil harkens back to, right? It's made to look like it came from that era. But since then, you know, after the whole Rosemary's Baby type era, once that was over, you don't really see that many films about cults. So that's on me. That was my misinterpretation. Thinking about when I started watching it, I was just thinking horror movie happens to be called House of the Devil. Did not immediately associate that with devil cult.
No, I'll split hairs even further. Cults are fine. You said it was a cult about potential demonic possession. It was a demonic possession.
No, I didn't say it was a cult. No. I asked, first of all, don't put fucking words in my mouth.
You said cult.
A goddamn motherfucking gracious loser. Now
you
it's
said
on.
Cult.
No,
you said
no,
cult.
No, I said,
watch the episode,
and I
guys.
Quote myself that you didn't necessarily know it was a cult movie. It could have been a film about demonic possession, not related to cults at all. Like, The Exorcist is not about a cult. The Exorcist is about is a movie about a young girl who gets possessed by a demon or devil. So,
no, that, right. You're right.
Yeah. So, you're right. So we can both meet in the middle here, like gracious human fucking beings.
Oh no! Now I'll argue for no reason. But anyway,
I'm just happy we got a clean take of Aya saying cults are fine.
That's gonna be the. That'll also be the tagline of the. Actually, that's got to be the title of the show, right? Cults There's no fine, way we're no. gonna come up with a better title than "Cults Are yeah. Fine."
That's
yeah. Cults. Or if we want, Aya says cults are fine, but I'm okay with just saying cults are fine.
No, Aya said.
Oh, we might as well throw an Akhtar in there as well. I mean,
you know. No, I don't think so. There's only two Ayas in the entire world that are SEO friendly.
Popular recording artist Aya says cults are fine.
It's retweeted 1,000 times. Can't wait for that. But yes, anyway, my point was, again, I forgot that John Carpenter did Halloween. I want to watch it again to see if it holds up because I forget how brilliant Carpenter can be because these older 70s, 80s horror movies, they're slow. And you have to like deal with that. If you are ready or used to this whole thing of like every 10 minutes, boom, 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 like what's going on? And I think maybe when I watched Halloween when I was a little older, like a teenager, I was like, this is slow. This isn't very fast. And so maybe I'm clouded by that. So I'm going to watch it again with the eyes of a guy that goes, give it a full shot. It's John fucking Carpenter. And then go with it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very different pace from modern horror movies. So, and there's, you know, it is from a very different time. There's nothing wrong with wanting a faster paced movie. I like movies that take their time to set up an atmosphere and then to really just start slowly cranking that up until it becomes unbearable. I like that a lot, but I totally get it that requires a level of, it requires a different mindset. Not that people aren't capable of paying attention, but we live in a world that has instant notifications all around us all the time. In fact, hell, that's why we decided to do this movie challenge thing anyway, right? Was that we've all found ourselves in this world where we have multiple distractions around us at all times. And to eliminate those and see if we can pay attention to stuff that clearly does not merit our attention is the whole crux of that challenge. Well, even stuff that I consider to be good, if it's really slowly paced, we've been conditioned to expect much faster payoff early on and then consistently throughout the running of a movie. It's not the fault of any individual person. That's just the world we live in. I luckily grew up in an era where that slow-paced film was a common thing. It wasn't across the board everywhere, but it was common enough where I can still watch that style of movie and appreciate it, but it's more because I'm thinking about what it was like when I was a kid. If I didn't have that experience, I'm pretty sure I would just find those movies boring. Even the ones that are legitimately well-made, they're well-written, you know, it's got great cinematography, great lighting, great effects, all that kind of stuff that I consider some of these movies to fall into that category, they'd still would bore me if I, you know, if I didn't have that earlier experience where I could say like, no, it's okay. I can stay invested in this film until things start really picking up. But otherwise, I mean, I can't blame anybody for getting bored at a slow paced movie these days, just because that's just not how everything is anymore.
I think we all saw It Follows. I don't think we watched it for the show, but I think all of us watched it. That, I mean, that was a pretty slow paced horror movie for now. That's it was super slow paced, and that was definitely totally watchable, but I'm sure there definitely were people who were just like, give up.
If nothing's jumping out at me every 30 seconds, it's not a horror movie.
Right.
Exactly. There's some folks who their definition of a horror movie is just a series of jump scares. And, I get that could be effective. It startles you, right? Like you jump out of your seat, you know, because you've been watching really carefully, and then you get the loud noise and the thing rushes the screen. that's scary. I get it. But, or at least it startles you, but it doesn't leave a lasting impression. You don't walk out of the theater saying, hey, you remember that sixth time the clown jumped out at the screen? Man, that was, I mean, it was right. almost as scary as the fourth time the clown jumped out at the screen. Whereas if you have a movie where they slowly crank up that dread so that it's almost unbearable, that's the kind of movie you walk out of and you're still talking about. Like, I think of, like, Cloverfield did it to an extent. I thought Cloverfield was pretty good about that.
Yeah.
The one I think of that some people just find to be the most fucking boring movie in the world for horror movies, Blair Witch Project, to me, worked on that level. I was really invested in that film. I saw it in the theater before it got – the hype train had already hit, so people already knew about it. But it wasn't – I think that was the problem with it was still in theaters. What's that?
That was kind of the problem with that movie was that it got so hyped so quickly that like then going to see it wasn't great. But actually watching it, I watched it a couple of years ago, and actually it was good. Like, I enjoyed it. The other really slow build one that I can think of is have either of you watched Audition?
Yes.
Audition?
Like, that is the slowest build, but also just terrifying.
Have you seen
I don't know.
Audition is Audition is a story. It's a subtitled film. Audition is a Japanese film, if I'm not mistaken.
Takashi Miike. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a movie in which a Japanese businessman. Is he widowed? Like, did he lose it? I think so. He is talking with a business associate, and they've come to the conclusion that he needs to find himself a wife. And his associate decides that, well, you know, he's a movie maker, so what he thinks is the best thing to do is to act like they're going to make a movie and audition women to potentially be this guy's wife, but not to let them know that that's what was going on in the beginning. And they end up auditioning this young lady who appears to be a very kind of quiet, very pretty, submissive, sort of meek character. And then it turns out that they totally misjudged who she is. And it gets – shit gets crazy quickly.
Shit gets real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. Have we watched any Miike movies for –
I don't think we watched any.
We should watch good movies again, because that would be nice, because I cannot handle this anymore. I'm going to kill everybody.
Yours is the next choice.
So and we're watching Fuller House Season 3, Episode 1. That's what's going
to
happen.
God damn it, Ayaz. You just said you need to watch good movies. You had the power.
This is not a movie. Two, it's 22 minutes.
22 okay? minutes?
Tell you what.
It's an episode of a television show.
Yeah.
I'll take it upon myself to look for a film, probably in the horror genre, because we're first of all, I love that genre. Second of all, we're heading toward Halloween, and third of all, it's my fucking choice. But I'll look for one that I think looks like it's interesting. I'll try to find one that I haven't seen before. I have this bad habit of actually seeking out those.
I'm also
movies.
Totally willing to rent it for like $5.
Yes, yeah. It's a good movie. My pick is not official yet. We got to talk about the next thing first. Until we do that, do not count my pick, because that was my like retribution. My it's not a retribution, revenge on Eric, because fuck this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
My voice has been shot all day, and one of the few things I've yelled all day was, there's an hour left.
Yeah. No, so I mean, when you get to that point where there's still an hour left of that movie, it is like, well, first of all, there are certain people who get top billing in this movie who are not introduced until minute 45.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Rob Van Dam specifically.
I forgot he was in the film between the credits and the actual appearance. I was like, oh, hey, cool. Like, all right,
it's 45 fucking minutes before he shows up.
The movie. Holy crap. Audition was based on a book, but it's only in Japanese.
Yeah,
I really want that. Anyway,
well, all right. So wait, other great movies you think of for like to get you in the spirit of Halloween? Are there any like I like ghost stories? I don't know if you guys know of any good. I love watching a good movie that is like ghost oriented. There's only a few that I think are really, really good. I actually really still like The Sixth Sense. I mean, I still enjoy it.
I don't think I've rewatched that for a long time.
It's a little weird to rewatch it when you know. I mean, obviously, everyone knows what the twist is now because it's a meme. But it's a little weird to watch it now that you've seen it already, right? Because you start looking at scenes differently, knowing the twist, and you're like, okay, does this measure up? Does this hold up to the premise that I now know, or the twist that I now know, the conclusion? I still enjoy that movie, but I still think Poltergeist is a great movie. I think that's a fun film.
As far as ghosts, I really like The Others. That was a good one.
The Others is good. Yeah. The Others is a really, really, The Others is a fun take on the ghost movie genre. And it also had one of those moments that actually legitimately creeped me out. Like when I saw it in the theater, the hair on my arm stood on end. It was that, you are my mummy or whatever. The old lady suddenly. Right. Yeah. That was freaky as hell. That one, that's pretty good. There's a movie, I may have talked about this, probably have on this show at some point. There's a movie from 1980 called The Changeling, which has George C. Scott in it. And it's the first two acts of that movie are some of the creepiest ghost story productions I've ever seen. Like it's very small, simple stuff. Like it's nothing like grotesque, or in most cases, it's not even overt. It's really subtle.
Scott, did they remake this?
There's a different film called Changeling, but it's totally unrelated.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. The Changeling, which I have to have the in there. Yeah. The Changeling. It came out in 1980. It's about a composer who he's lost his wife. He's moved into a new house. He's trying to work on a new musical composition. And turns out that the house has some sort of ghostly presence in it. And there are little things just like inanimate objects being found in places they're not supposed to, that because of the way the movie is constructed, the sound design, the lighting, it's this crazy, oppressive, ominous feeling, even though like individually the inanimate objects are ridiculously harmless. Like there's a rubber ball that there's a point where a character throws it off the bridge over a river. And then later on, like in a couple scenes later, the ball starts bouncing down the stairs and there's nothing particularly aggressive about it, but it freaked the hell out of me. But the third act of that movie is apeshit crazy. The movie falls apart in the third act. Like the first two acts are almost perfect, apart from the fact that it's set right at 1980. So all the fashions are those late 70s fashions, lots of like bell bottom pants and that kind of stuff, and super wide collars and that kind of thing. So you have to get past that. But the first two acts to me are almost perfect. And then the third act is just, I wish you could remove that third act and replace it with something a little less insane.
Have you guys seen Tales of Halloween on Netflix?
Mm-mm. No.
It's like an anthology Halloween horror, slight comedy edge to it. It's a great little anthology. Think of like a Twilight Zone movie where like you have like a ton of stories. This is 10 stories though, not like three, and it goes all of this place in one town. It's really good. I have no idea if it'll survive the month of October, but Tales of Halloween, it's surprisingly good. But maybe about like six of the stories are really good out of the 10. But really fun if you want to just have something on during a party, because you just tune in, tune out.
I like the genres, comedies, dark comedies. This is the first.
Yeah, it's so like one of the stories is about this kid that was never allowed to have any Halloween candy ever. And one day he goes trick-or-treating. He comes home, and his parents take away his trick-or-treat candy and goes, go to bed. So he goes to bed, and then he shows up, and he sees that his parent. He hears his parents like laughing. He comes down to the living room. He sees his parents eating all his candy, and he gets so mad, he kills them all, eats the candy, and then opens up their stomachs, and then eats the candy that was within. And then he shows up every year after that because that's what he does, which is a great idea for a villain. That's just like one of the stories. And that's the one that I gave away isn't the best story. So I thought it was a really fun, dumb, you know, Halloween, like, ooh, spooky as I'm in the dark.
We did watch a horror anthology film at some point, I think, because I remember it was god awful. We've seen the VHS ones, but there was another one that was even lower budget. Like VHS at least had a budget, right? There was one that we watched that was all I remember is there was one where there was like a succubus out in the woods. It was like a guy and his daughter going out deer hunting or something. And they end up being chased down by like a demon woman witch thing out in the woods. Did I just watch this on my own?
I mean, this possibly sounds like a thing we would have watched at some point. So.
That was just one of like three or four stories that were going on in this anthology. And I think there was another.
No.
What's that?
Is that Out of the Woods?
No, that was the one you hated that was like 20 frames per second, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's Into the Woods.
Into the Woods is the Stephen Sondheim musical about fairy tales.
There's some kind of woods involved here.
The one I'm thinking of was an anthology. So there were like three or four different stories. I want to say there was another one where it was a group of high school kids who were going into like their school after hours to look at a specific spot that ended up in causing one of them to go insane and start killing the others. Maybe I watched this just on my own. It was definitely an anthology. It was definitely an anthology. Terrible.
The 15 frames a second movie was Don't Go in the Woods.
There we go. All right.
By Vincent D'Onofrio. Because I remember like Vincent D'Onofrio, like Edgar from Men in Black? Yeah, Edgar from Men in Black was like a thing that like the director. My God, what a piece of shit that was. Sorry. I actually, Jonathan, I have no idea which movie you're talking about.
I'm looking here's right the thing, now.
Like half of me believes we've seen it together for this show. And then half of me's like, you know what? It sounds like anything else. I don't think I'll watch this. So
yeah, it's not easy here.
Kia Stacy knows. Let us know.
I'm just looking through. I'm looking through right now. To see if I can find the film that this was. Because when you said Tales of Halloween, I was like, is that that horrible one that I saw that had these terrible terrible short films that weren't effective at all? But now I'm trying to just see if I can find it. Oh, wait. Is this it? Oh, I think I know what it is. Let's see.
What is it?
I think it's A Christmas Horror Story. I think this was when I was going through a Christmas horror phase. Yeah, this is it. A Christmas Horror Story. So I thought it was Halloween, but it was Christmas. That's what threw me off.
Yeah, you're just terrified of a different holiday? Right?
Well, just because it was an anthology. So it was a horror anthology film based around a holiday. I was thinking it was Halloween because that's what makes sense, but it was Christmas. And one of the stories is high school students.
Is obviously about St. Nicholas, and all of the screenshots are Christmas.
All I could remember was the hunting one, which could happen in the fall.
And William Shatner's in it.
I remember there was a hunting one where the father and his kid are going hunting, and there was this weird succubus story that doesn't really work properly. And I remember there was one about students looking through a high school, but that was it. I didn't remember the one that had like Krampus in it or anything.
Yeah.
Because the stories are semi interwoven with one another. And in fact, I may even still be conflating this with a couple of different movies. It may be that the hunter one was even a different film than what I'm thinking about here. But the student one is definitely the same. The one I was thinking of. In fact, I'm almost certain now, because it says here, interwoven stories that take place on Christmas Eve as told by one festive radio host, a family brings home more than a Christmas tree. A student documentary becomes a living nightmare. A Christmas spirit terrorizes and Santa slays evil. So yeah, this is one of two films I was thinking of, and the other one I can't even remember. It was even lower budget than this, though.
Now this is getting me back on horror movies, but like, did we watch a movie? I don't remember if it was for the show, about like a family going on vacation in like Switzerland or something, like to a ski trip, and people started dying. There's a virus breakout. Yeah. Oh man, now I gotta find that.
That could be like any movie ever. So it's like, if you watch a movie where there was like a virus, and or maybe like a ski lift gets stuck, and or a clown that was murderous, and this, you know, this turkey that was also killing people. It's probably our show.
Yeah. These are all.
If it's a shitty memory, if it's a shitty memory, it's our show.
Yeah,
that's enough.
I wish I could just assume that is the case, except for the fact that I have had a habit of watching awful, awful movies all on my own, just seeking out the next horror movie that I'm actually going to like. This is going to really bother me to figure out what the hell horror anthology it was.
You're probably thinking of your anthology in your head is probably some like bizarre version of that Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas thing with all the ideas of like, and Saint Nick was actually a badass and he's killing people because fuck you for fighting. That's maybe like you've taken all of these terrible things we've seen. You've made this like this giant meatball of crap. And you're like, yes, that is the movie.
The Christmas one was clearly one of the movies, because I remember the one about the high school students doing the documentary film. But I was combining that with some other horror anthology one. I just remember it was on Netflix. It was a super low budget horror anthology film. And I want to say I'm not even going to bother now, because if I do say that there's this other segment had such and such, there's a good chance that I'll be adding a third horror anthology to the two that I'm already talking about.
Let me go back to something we talked about a while ago during this conversation. This idea that movies get really slow and boring based on modern standards. I've been trying to get my son into The Twilight Zone, and he's just like, what is going on? Yeah. I made him watch, I think it's called like Five Strangers in the Trash. You guys ever watch that one?
No.
Or Five Strangers like in Nowhere. Okay, I'm not going to give that one away. You guys ever watch To Surf Man?
I know what that is, but no, I haven't seen it.
Eric?
It's a cookbook.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, Eric, have you watched To Surf Man?
I kind of think so, but I can't think of it.
Okay. Wait, neither of you have actually seen To Serve Man?
No.
I don't think so. Looking at the screenshots that are coming up, I do not think I've watched this one. Yeah.
Well, then. Anyway, The Twilight Zone was a series that ran on CBS, made by Rod Serling, who was a very interesting fellow, who pitched this anthology show to CBS, and they're like, well, who's on the show? And he goes, that's the thing. It's an anthology, so we have different actors all the time. They're like, who's going to watch that? And he goes, don't worry, the stories will be okay. So they put it on the air, and it did very well. And apparently, nobody but me has ever seen this fucking show alive right now.
Come on.
I have seen plenty of episodes of Twilight Zone, but I haven't seen all of them.
But that's one of the most classic ones. That's why I say that. Have you seen Nightmare on
The most classic. That's the one I can pull off the top of my head.
Which one?
Eye of the Nightmare? Beholder.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that the that the one with the glasses?
No, it's the one with the surgery.
Oh,
help a girl.
when I think Twilight Zone, the one that I think of that leaps to mind is the one with Burgess Meredith, where he's wearing the glasses and
time at last.
Time at last to read all the books. See, that's the one I think of as the iconic Twilight Zone episode. Or I think of the one where there's the gremlin on the wing of the plane, which is the one that they ended up doing again when they did Twilight Zone, the movie.
Yes, the original
it's William Shatner, and in the movie it's John Lithgow, which ultimately leads to the greatest moment in American television history when in Third Rock from the Sun, William Shatner as the great big giant head shows up, gets off a plane. John Lithgow, as the main character from Third Rock from the Sun, greets William Shatner at the airport and says, "How was your flight?" And he says, "Oh, it's terrible. I was sitting next to the window and I saw something standing on the wing of the plane." And John Lithgow says, "The same thing happened to me." And I thought, this is the best TV ever be.
That's kind of amazing, actually. I'm sorry that I missed that.
And the studio audience barely reacted. But to me, I was like thrilled that they had made the connection between the two different versions of that same story and made the reference in Third Rock from the Sun.
You know that my pick for the next time is going to be freaking Twilight Zone, that episode. Not Nightmare 20,000 Feet. You guys are going to watch Deserve Man. You got to watch Deserve Man. It's been parodied to death. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, it's a cultural touchstone. There's no argument here, but it's just, I started watching Twilight Zone. I started making my way through watching them in chronological order when it was on Netflix. Yeah. I don't know if it still is, but I was watching them. Is it? So I was watching it and I just didn't get as far as that one. I mean, I know the story. Like everyone knows it because.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just like, I used to get excited every year back when I had cable, but I don't have cable anymore because the Sci-Fi Channel would always have like, was it like around Thanksgiving? I think
New Year's
when they would do like New Year's. Was it New Year's? Yeah. When they would just do like, you know, the Twilight Zone for like 24 hours or 48 hours or however long it was. And I would just be like, okay, I'm going to leave that on for a while.
So when I was a kid, it was on one of the local channels, Channel 11 here. It wasn't even on cable yet. It'd be the New Year's Eve freaking Twilight Zone marathon for years. This would happen since I was like maybe like 7 till about the Sci-Fi Network shows up. So that's just a long time. Okay, this is a long time this happens. And I would just run them, just have them on and go, you know, I don't want to watch this. And I didn't have cable till I was about 13. So like I've got 6 years of watching just four channels and going, what am I watching? What am I watching? All right, I watch this. It's an alien. Oh, okay. I would watch this every year for years because there was nothing else to watch. And I was forced to get it.
If you listen to the audio version of this, you should really watch the video because Ayaz's face says everything there.
Thank you. Ayaz's face says everything. It's the best title ever. So I'm watching the show and I'm like,
Ayaz says cults are okay. It's pretty good.
Still better.
Oh, no. I have it written down because Eric was like, hey, it should be Ayaz Akhtar says that. I'm going to write Ayaz Sandeen says cults are okay for SEO purposes.
Excellent.
You got to get both because my name is going to show up early on the Ayaz search and Eric Sandeen, Sandeen is going to show up.
Sandeen's so rare his name will, it'll pump it straight up there.
That's SEO right there. But I would watch this freaking marathon all the time, and I fucking hated the Western episodes. They're like, well, you know, Johnny's stuck in 1886, and you're like, well, I don't care because I'm from the city, and I would watch this cowboy. Fuck you, cowboy. Alien, fine. I get your aliens. But you cowboy, fuck you, cowboy. So I started watching the cowboy stuff later on, like this age, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. But I'm just really shocked. I cannot believe of all the nerd culture things that I actually am not a part of because I don't care for, and Jonathan knows this, Lord of the Rings or any of that stuff. No hobbits, no dwarves, no elves. Sorry, if you're actually a dwarf, that's not the point. But like an elf, you know.
You're talking the fantasy characters. You're not a fantasy. You're not a fan of fantasy genre.
Yes, and Jonathan's gonna get like an extra helping of positivity at Christmas. I don't know. What's the opposite of coal?
Presents.
Yeah, that is the opposite of coal. Presents.
I'm a great Christian, as you can tell. In the stocking, I'll give him presents.
You're going to have to watch more Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas to really get into the spirit again.
He did not save Christmas, apparently. I'm gonna get you like a giant bunch of presents and a big, muscly dude who will kill people. His name will be Nick. Anyway, my point was... I lost it.
Oh God. I'm kind of sorry. I'm kind of sorry only because I know you're feeling under the weather. So that's the only reason I'm sorry that we totally derailed you.
No. Yeah. I've been sick for the past 3 days and I'm on cold meds. So I'm way out there and I'm drinking a beer, which is a really bad idea on cold meds. But, okay, so
well let me give one suggestion for this is nothing to do with that other mythical horror anthology that is apparently some sort of chimera of all horror anthologies that have ever been made. I did watch a horror anthology recently that I actually remember, and it's got at least two of the segments I think are really interesting, and the third one is okay. And that is the film XX, the horror anthology XX, which stands for the chromosomes, because it's all female directors who created the various segments that are in that anthology. So if you have not seen it, there are at least two segments in that I think are really interesting. And a third one that is almost there, but I recommend checking that out if you like horror and you have not already seen it.
One's definitely been popping up on Netflix for me, but I never clicked it because I didn't know what it was about.
It's worth seeing. I mean, if you like horror movies, it's worth seeing. It's not, like I said, it's got some interesting components to it that are not quite fully realized, I think, in the final film, but it's worth, like I said, it's worth checking out. There's some stuff that you watch, and as you watch it, you're like, this is, I know exactly where this is going, but that's okay, because it's still done pretty well.
Yeah, searching on Google, the autocompletes are hilarious. XX on Netflix, XX the box, XX the meaning, XX the chromosome, XX on hold, XX beer. Apparently, kids don't know what XX mean at all. The chromosome being up there is pretty high. It's kind of scary. As a total aside, have you guys watched Atypical on Netflix?
I have not.
I don't think so.
Are you going to yell at us again?
No. Yeah, seriously, what have we missed this time? It's new. Look, Twilight Zone has been around for a while. So...
Oh, wait. I did watch this. I watched this. Yeah.
You watched the whole thing?
Season one.
Yeah, it's really digestible. Yeah. Atypical is a show about a fellow who is autistic, and he's in high school, and he's just, you know, he's just being. And so he's dealing with his parents, dealing with his social life, and he's got a sister that's very helpful. And it's... I thought really surprisingly good. I thought the show was going to be like kind of this moralistic, heavy-handed show.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's just very real. I don't have a lot of experience.
Evidently, I only got to episode 3. However, yeah, we like watched the first two, and like both Liz and I were like, this is really good. Like, this isn't what I expected it to be.
It's very easily digestible. Yeah. So, like, if you're looking for a new show to watch, that has nothing to do with horror or Twilight Zone or, I guess, XX movies. Actually, I don't know who directed what, to be honest, but very good show. Just a random thing I want to throw out there. Atypical on Netflix. Very good. And I think it's a Netflix original, so it'll be around for a while. I think, Jonathan, I think you might actually like it.
I remember I saw, you know, how Netflix, whenever they have a new show launching or whenever a new season is launching, they often will promote it by having it be the landing that you see as soon as you launch the Netflix app. This was one of the ones that I saw. And I actually, like, sometimes I'll watch those. Like, I'll watch the little promo thing to get an idea about whether or not I want to see it. Well, and I did watch the promo. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but you could easily scroll away from it, which is usually what I do. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Normally I'm like, fuck this, scroll down to whatever. Fuck this. I have three-headed shark attack to finish watching because I hate life and everything in it. But this one I actually watched and I thought it did look interesting, but I have not seen the series yet.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. I accidentally marathoned it. It's only 8 episodes, but I didn't realize that. So I'm like, I'm watching and I'm watching and then I'm like, wait, it's over? It's like offering me up other shows. And it's Jennifer Jason Leigh is one of the actors in it. There's also Michael Rapaport, who has had some weird things in social media. I get that, but as an actor, very good. It's a fun movie. It's a very fun show. It actually seems like it has an arc, and it means to have an arc, not like other shows on other networks where you're like, where is this going? What's happening? They know where they're going. So I hope to watch the second season there. But again, this is not an endorsement of Michael Rapaport.
No, Ayaz only endorses cults, not Michael Rapaport.
Just cults.
Cults are fine. Ayaz Akhtar says that cults are fine depending on what the government recognizes as not a cult. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
That's
like, you know, like cult films are fine. I mean, Phantom of the Paradise, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Where is the line between cult and not a cult? Like, just the amount of followers, right?
Yeah, whichever institution has enough followers to dictate that the other one is not legitimate.
How about this? The cult of Star Wars, right? There's a bunch of massively, like, psychotic fans for this fucking movie. I said that. And it's a mainstream movie. So because it's so well-liked, the cult people that are like this, they get to enjoy the acceptance of the mainstream.
I don't know. I mean, like, if you are, like, truly a crazy hardcore Star Wars fan, like, you're someone like the Star Wars kid, the infamous Star Wars kid who videotaped himself, you know, twirling a stick around, acting like it was a lightsaber. I did the same shit when I was a kid. You know, I didn't videotape it, but I did the same shit. But that's held up as ridicule, right? That's like, look at the chubby kid playing with a stick pretending to be a Jedi. I'm like, well, of course you're fucking pretending to be a Jedi. Jedis are fucking cool, man. You're a magic using badass. You're a guy who wields a magic sword. What kid wouldn't want to do that? Let the kid just be a kid. But it's still something that is often held up at ridicule. So I think there's still a point where it crosses over the level of social acceptability, and then it goes into the realm of other, which means that it is, according to the mainstream social construct, ripe for ridicule. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's necessarily cool. Lord knows I've also been guilty of doing it, so it makes me a hypocrite. But I don't think that it quite works out. I think that it's more acceptable to be a fan of Star Wars today than it used to be, largely because Disney has shoved it down our throats so much that you can't avoid it at this point. Right. Same with superheroes. Like, it's cool to like superheroes because what the fuck else is there, right? Like, that's the only, you go to a movie theater and like half of the movies playing are superhero films and the other half are these weird independent films that no one's heard of. And that's pretty much it, right?
This deserves a really, like, true, long, boring conversation, I think.
No, I specialize in those.
Yes, I actually, this would be a nice, like, something I actually want to deconstruct. Like, is it because this is all we have, so it becomes mainstream, or is it mainstream because it was accepted first? Or I know I was like, you know, telling you guys that culture fine earlier, but I'm actually thinking about this. But on that note, I think I've gotten too deep. Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
Guys, I have to tell you this. Cults are totally not fine.
I know what you're thinking. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to worship this four-headed shark. And you're like, yeah, and a four-headed shark. Three is the way to go. But I'll tell you, four is the future. Three, not enough heads.
I mean, the best part is they're going after the other Sandine, which is this mayor of this small town somewhere. So it doesn't matter. The cult's not-